typing over there? God, get ready for the episode. Hey, welcome to the Praise the Game podcast, your source for news, trends, events in the gaming industry.
Hello, yo, people. Yo, what up?
This is episode 20, coming at you, boys.
Yo, we're here, we did it, episode 20, y'all. No, but seriously, that's crazy.
Really,
yeah,
because how long has it been now? January 22nd?
January 28th was our first episode.
28th? I thought it was earlier. I thought it was the 22nd.
Oh, actually, maybe it was.
It was the 22nd.
No, yeah, I'm getting that wrong.
Damn, that's fucking nuts. We've been doing this for almost 7 months.
Really? What? Is that the math there?
What the fuck?
It was almost July.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
February,
oh, no,
March,
almost
April,
six,
May,
I guess,
June,
yeah,
July.
Almost 6 months.
So a little bit over 6 months.
Okay, whatever. Anyway,
what
it's cool. A half a year of the podcast.
I know.
Yeah, so that was Nick Maholtz's introing the podcast.
Yeah,
today.
What up?
I'm Andrew Burrell with my brother Pete.
Hey, you guys.
As always. And yeah, we got episode 20 today. We're talking about the Steam Summer Sale of 2017.
Yeah.
Because it's going on right now, and we thought it was relevant. We all spent some money.
Yeah, picking up some games, some old ones, some new ones.
We'll talk about sales in general, how we feel. There's some news that relates to this week, so that's going to be the bulk of our topic of the day, but... As always, we're going to start with the news and then move on to What's Loaded Up, where we talk about what we've been playing for the last week.
Yep.
And then we'll hit the topic of the day at the end. But for now, let's go to the news.
The news. What do we have for the news, Andrew?
All right. Sorry, I'm out of position right now. Like,
what
I'm
the hell, man?
I don't know what's going on.
By the way, I want to shout out these nice graphic tees that you guys are wearing today. Nick's
what
got
am I
this.
Wearing?
Andrew's got a Cowboy Bebop shirt.
Oh,
Nick's
shit.
Got his Batman shirt on right now.
Yeah, we're representing nerd culture forever, bro.
Yeah.
All right, so the news. We're going to start with release dates. We've got five pretty awesome releases coming out next week. So on Tuesday, we have Arizona Sunshine, this really popular VR game coming to PSVR. It's a zombie shooting multiplayer game, game. And I'm pretty sure it makes use of the PlayStation...
Daldis?
Yeah,
the aim controller?
The aim controller,
okay,
yes.
Cool.
So I'm excited to try that. I'm always excited when a new VR game comes to PSVR. And also, big news that I didn't put on the news, but I'll mention up top here, Superhot's coming to PSVR.
Oh, that was cool.
I can't wait for that.
That was previously available only for the Vive?
I believe so, or Oculus.
Or Oculus.
Okay. That's cool that they're actually having some crossovers like
that. Yeah, they're starting to bring more games to PSVR, which is really exciting, because... I mean, I don't know. I just wanted these titles, and Superhot, Nick played.
Well,
yeah,
I
want to try in VR. So
it's good
I've heard it's the
it's
best
supported.
In VR.
I mean, I was happy to see that at E3 they were like, hey, here's this whole VR section.
Yeah,
we're
for sure. I mean,
it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I thought they would. I mean, they're not going to come out with a $400 peripheral and
no.
be like, whatever. You know?
Exactly.
Maybe if it's like just some simple thing, but
yeah,
I think I'm excited
Vita,
for it.
Well, but the Vita.
That's a whole other thing. Handhelds, we could talk about that.
How does,
how does
this Arizona Sunshine game look, though? Because I'm thinking,
graphically,
like,
it's really good, actually.
I mean, with the aim controller, what is that arcade game? Some Time Crisis?
Yeah, well, there's
kind
actually
get,
the
get
second
that vibe.
Game that,
like, imagine that,
no,
but in VR
it's,
almost.
It's movement, though. It's movement.
Well, yeah,
you're not on rails.
But it's not a rail game.
But I'm saying, like, the idea of having zombies or enemies coming towards you in that way, I'm excited to see.
Yeah, I mean, it looks awesome. The setting's really cool. The colors are great. I don't know. I'm really pumped for this. So that's Tuesday. Also on Tuesday, Diablo 3 is getting another update. The Necromancer is coming out. It's a $15 expansion for essentially just the Necromancer character. It's a couple little things, too, like some aesthetic stuff. But that's coming to PC, Xbox, and PS4.
They've been doing some like preview stuff for this, and I mean, it's good to see that Blizzard is still supporting Diablo.
Of course they are.
Of course they are. I mean, that's their whole ethic. They continually put support out for their games, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you going to come back to playing Diablo? You
I mean,
went into
I have
it way
it, I,
hard.
Well, I bought it on my MacBook back in the day when it first launched, and I still have it. So once I bought my PC, I still had it on my Battle.net account. It carries over to your account, so I would play it again for
Did
sure.
Did you play it on console too?
Yeah, I had it on Xbox 360, PS3, and PS4.
It's like Skyrim for you.
Well,
it's like how
I was
many times
working.
Are you
I was working at FYE at the time,
so
I was just in front of video games all day, and I was just like, I wanted to like make another account on here and blah blah blah. So
what was
Grand
the launch
Theft Auto,
year
I did that
of
too.
Diablo? Was that 2011? No, 12.
No.
It was later.
It was later. I think it was 2014.
Oh, it was that late.
Or 13, the same year as GTA 5.
Okay.
It was in that time frame.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2012. But anyway, that's exciting for people who like the Necromancer on Diablo 2. That's going to be a cool update. Hopefully, it brings a lot of players back, including me. Also, Elite Dangerous, the Legendary Edition, is coming to console on Xbox One and PS4, also on Tuesday the 27th, yeah. which is kind of a big deal. This is, I believe, was an early access game on PC for a long time.
Okay.
And it is a space exploration game, kind of akin to the No Man's Sky type thing. Mm. But our cousin Stacy was talking about it,
oh,
remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
this
yeah.
is the game that her and her friend played.
Yeah.
And it is supposed to be really cool, but kind of boring. Like, it has very mixed reviews. But yeah. I think that it's interesting that it's finally coming to console.
Sometimes when games are, like, a little too sandboxy, they can seem boring. Yeah. But I know there's interesting events in that game. Like, our cousin was telling us that they recently had discovered alien life in the game.
Yeah, I don't think
it was
it's,
like, a whole event.
Right. I don't think it's procedural. I think it's just kind of huge.
Yeah.
And it just takes forever for people to find anything. I don't know much else other than that it seems like a very cool concept.
Yeah.
So hopefully players on console enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see how the reviews do for that.
Yeah.
And then we have the newest Pikmin game coming out. Not the mainline Pikmin game, but
no.
Hey Pikmin, the spin-off 2D platformer version for the 3DS is launching on when? On a random day, too. Usually Nintendo's on Fridays, but this is on the 28th, which is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Are you going to get this for Switch? I mean, for 3DS?
For 3DS. I'm split because I've been seeing some footage and hearing some things about it that it's a bit simplistic. It looks like it's made modeled for children, which I can understand, but at the same time, someone who, having played the other Pikmin games and appreciated the sort of challenge and strategy and stuff of that, I do want to be challenged. If I can whip through the game really quickly, I don't know how satisfied I'll be.
Right.
I don't know. I'll it's coming up really quick, but I'll have to decide soon.
Yeah, there's so many other things coming out, and the Steam sale obviously was just this week.
Yeah.
So, but for me, it kind of reminds me of what's going on with Metroid. So you've got like the mainline game, and then you've got like the thing coming to 3DS.
Yeah.
Except this isn't really a remake of anything. It's its own new spinoff.
Yeah, it's a platforming game where you use the Pikmin to
right.
do certain
It looks
puzzles.
Interesting, but like I just want a new Pikmin game. Even if they port Pikmin 3, which I didn't get to play on the Wii U to Switch, I'd be
oh,
really
yeah,
happy.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, I really want that to happen. And actually, Jose Otero from IGN mentioned, I remember he got to play it early on, and he was like, this is not for Pikmin fans. Mm. This is a kiddie remake.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
he
thinking.
Was very upfront, and he's a huge Nintendo. He actually is moving to Nintendo and working there now.
Oh, okay.
He got a job at Nintendo. He's leaving IGN.
Yeah.
But he was straight up like, this isn't for Pikmin fans.
Yeah.
So that kind of made me feel like, all right, I'm not getting that.
I'll have to see when it comes out. But what was I going to say? I forgot. Damn.
All right. Well, anyway, on the Switch, Breath of the Wild is getting its first expansion, the Master Trials DLC, which is part of the Season Pass, which I'm going to pick up soon. I'm really excited for more content in this game.
You know what I was going to say? So speaking of the Switch, it would be nice to, given that the Wii U had kind of went over, well, under a lot of people's heads, because it really was underwhelming.
It
in
was
lots of
unsuccessful.
Ways, there are a lot of great games that are on it that people missed.
We
like
were just talking
Bayonetta
about this.
2.
Bayonetta 2.
And
yeah.
I'm just thinking like games like that, or maybe Pikmin 3 would be
definitely
great to port over. I'd be very willing to play
they did
games
it with Mario Kart.
That are fine. I mean, would be amazing on handheld.
A little bit of buyer's remorse, I think, for hardcore Nintendo fans that have both consoles and are kind of like,
yeah,
you screwed me. I mean, really, like, I say it all the time, and I really think that the Wii U was a prototype Switch.
Mm.
It was Nintendo getting to the idea of the handheld and home console.
Yeah.
They attempted it. They were like, you know, you can take the tablet everywhere, but it would go out of sync after like 5 feet in your house. And it just had a lot of problems. And the Wii U name, I think, really damaged it.
Yeah.
So there are good games on it, though. So it would be a great idea, I think, for them to put all these games on the Switch.
Nick, did you ever get a chance to play Pikmin games at all, or not really?
No.
I rebought recently Pikmin 1 and 2. They're basically Nintendo RTSs.
Yeah.
But they're interesting because they're not, I don't know, what's, they kind of
what,
just
as
weird.
Far as the genre?
Yeah, they're kind of more story-driven too. Like, there's multiplayer in the second one, which you converse each other, which I loved. But it's more about, like, okay, you crash on this alien planet, mm-hmm, and you have to get the pieces to build your ship back.
There's that thing going on, though, and Nick, you understood this from Persona, where you actually have a time limit in order to fulfill certain objectives. Like, you have to build your ship in a certain time, or you're going to be smashed, and you can't get off the planet, and your ship is not going to work. Which I always enjoyed that aspect. I think it added a certain layer of pressure, but in a fun way.
And then replayability, because it wasn't the longest game ever.
Yeah.
I actually just recently picked both of those games up on GameCube again since I've been playing them.
Oh, yeah.
Them. So I would... We were thinking about doing a PTG Plays as Pikmin.
I forgot about
that. Which maybe down the line I would do. We ended up going with Luigi's Mansion, but...
That's a good pick, though.
But Pikmin's so... It's great.
A good pick.
A great pick, man.
It's super fun. It's just it's like a really like nice world. Yeah. It just has like its own unique style.
That's what the Nintendo's all about, though. Nintendo's unique got a lot of world. Nice yeah. worlds. Like, oh, yeah.
New Donk City.
Here's Hyrule. Here's like the castle in Mario. Here's Pikmin world.
Yeah, it's all very identifiable stuff.
It's Earth, but like down in the grace.
Down in the grace?
Down in the grass. Like and you got
yeah,
like,
that's also what was cool, because there's these little creatures, and then there's like a Duracell battery, which of course they got paid to put that in the game.
And everything that they have is named into different things. So it's like, oh, battery, they'll name it like energy receiver or something like that.
Yeah, like all very playful. It's one of those games like Nintendo does well, which is appealing to younger audiences and then more mature people as well. So yeah, that's it for release dates, but for the general news tying into release dates, Call of Duty 4 Remastered is actually finally becoming standalone. Mm-hmm. It's not having to be tied to Infinite Warfare anymore, but it's coming out for $40. And that's on the Tuesday the 27th for
$40.
PS4. Yes, no. It's only on PS4 first. More release dates to come for the other consoles and PC. $40 for this game. All right. So we were talking before this because we're appalled by this.
Yeah.
First of all, Infinite Warfare by itself is going for $30 on the Steam sale right now. So this game that is being remastered that's 10 years old is going for more money than the most recent game that it was tied to.
Yeah. I mean, this is a game from 2007.
Yeah.
Even if it is remastered, I don't think that price is justified. I think they're riding on the hope and hype of like, oh, this is the classic Call of Duty game.
This was the plan all along.
It should have just been, I mean, $20 to me is like almost too much.
That's the number that speaks to me. But $20, not $20.
$40? Are you kidding me?
There's not too much content to justify. Like,
no.
No.
You've seen it already before.
No. A remaster should never be $40.
It's a remaster, not a remake. And on top of that, there other games from 2007 are just... They're going for way, way cheaper than $40.
It was bundled with Infinite Warfare for a long time for $80, I think. Mm. So I think $40 for both of them would be a great sale price. I would be like, okay, I'll get the new Call of Duty and then I'll play the old one.
Yeah.
But no, it's standalone. It's $40, which is just shit to me. And also, when reflecting back on 2007, that was a great year for video games.
Yeah, in general.
You could spend your money on sales that are going on right now on plenty of games that are so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, not better. Call of Duty 4 is like a very important game in modern gaming history.
But games are at par with that game.
If for $40, you can get 5 games that were amazing from 2007.
Yeah.
You know, so this is just kind of like shitty cash grab from Activision.
I agree with that.
Which is like really unfortunate to me. If it was $20, I would have gladly paid for this because I want to replay Call of Duty 4. That was one of the games that got like... All right, so I was probably early high school when that came out.
It was 2007.
I was right on curve for the Call of Duty fad, you know?
Yeah.
It was big for me. I loved Call of Duty 4. I got competitive with it, like, and really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
So I would not mind paying $20, but $40?
No, and that's the thing. This price is inhibiting you from wanting to buy this, but will it inhibit other people? Or are people going to be like, hell yeah.
No, there's going to be suckers. There's going to be people, unfortunately, that are going to spend money on this.
I mean, if you really love this game and you didn't really care for Infinite Warfare and you just want this game again, this makes
sense.
Buy
it on Steam and put mods in yourself for a fraction of the cost.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's still $20 on Steam. Call of Duty games never go down, man. They're all like $30, like every one of them.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about it later, but the sale now, I think it's 50% off for all Call of Duty games.
Yeah. But going back to games that give you free content all the time, Overwatch just released a new map, which we've been playing.
Horizon Lunar Colony.
Yeah.
You're on the moon.
The moon.
Yeah, we've all been playing it. I actually like it. I think the choke point at the second point.
The second point is really fun. Yeah, so it's a two-point capture map.
Yeah.
It's not a
payload map, yeah. How do you guys feel about it?
Okay, there's so many different balconies and rooms. Yeah. There's a lot of corridors. And so on it, I haven't gone... I've played it not so many times. It's a big map. There's that zero gravity area, but I need to go back and just go into like an AI mode or something and just scope out the entire thing.
Yeah. Do you feel like...
there's so many angles and so many places you can go.
Because it's not as concise as it should be? Like, do you feel like the paths are...
The first time we played it, and we got to the first capture point, you could tell the other team was not at the defense area yet.
Yeah.
Because we steamrolled them immediately.
I think there's an attacker advantage, definitely.
No, the last point is so... I mean, it's...
I think for the first point.
Point, because there's so many angles of attack. But the second point is, crazy is more advantage. Akin to a lot of other maps, where it's like you got like one big lane, and then like a couple other places, like kind of more, you got that one big lane. Gibraltar, you have one big lane at the end. This it kind of whittles down to the same type of thing.
They almost have a formula with that, and I think what does make this very interesting at the end is that the spawn advantage is ridiculous for defenders. It's literally right outside the door from the spawn.
Yeah, it's real close.
So it, I mean, it's cool. I like the design. It maybe it's a little bland. I don't
know. There is definitely an underutilization of the zero gravity. There's one section.
Oh, yeah. It's
tiny.
I
never went out there to fight yet. We played the map like six or seven
it's
times.
It's a flanking route.
It's a small shortcut in flanking route, but I haven't seen anyone use it.
I have never fought a single person on
Me
it.
Me neither.
It's kind of out of the way.
I want to, really.
When I had heard that this was going to be zero gravity, like, or have a zero gravity section in it, I had imagined that the whole middle... Like there was two bases, let's say, and you were everyone was jumping into this like big room in the middle, and everyone was floating around each other to get through.
I think that
that's probably what I had envisioned.
Yeah, I think that's cool, but they probably went on the more conservative route because people would have been like, "Oh, it's that fun map, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's that like kind of like goofy map that nobody really likes."
I'm sure they probably tried a concept like that and play tested it and didn't think it would work with the balancing and things.
But now it's just don't even make it zero gravity. Put a regular route in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It actually doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. Go out into outer space with no suit or anything on.
No, of course.
Of course. I mean, it's just there to be fun. And they also, tagging on, they had a, they have, you can introduce zero gravity into custom games. Yeah. And they also had a game mode with zero gravity.
Yeah, so the arcade modes are, there's one 6v6 highlighting of the map, which they usually do. And then the low gravity mode, which we played a good amount of, which is cool too. It's a nice, fun change of pace.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. Winston's like 30 feet in the air.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like the end of the second defend point.
Yeah.
But I don't know how overall I feel about the map. It does, like I said, feel a little inconsistent to me.
Yeah. We're getting so into this map right now.
No, but it's good to talk about. We're big Overwatch fans.
I know. Speaking of which, there was some data mining that happened where they saw Doomfist / Summer Games. And last summer, they had the Summer Games where they had Lucio Ball, where it was like Rocket League, except everyone's Lucio, which I didn't get to play, and I really want to try it this time. I don't know if they'll do the same exact type of event, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see late August
Doomfist.
Oh, shit. New character, by the way.
People have been saying that forever. And then we got Horse Lady.
And then Terry Crews was at E3, and I was like, oh, hell yeah. Doomfist, and then I was like, no, Crackdown.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cool anyway, but...
It's cool, but I was like, oh, when I saw him, my heart sank, because I was like, no, not that game, I want you in Overwatch.
Yeah, the timing, I don't know, I feel like they're almost, like, running out of time for Doomfist, you know?
Well, he's, they put Orisa out, who's a direct response to Doomfist in the lore of the game, too.
Yeah, but
so they're leading up to it. We'll see.
Yeah.
So what else we have here?
So we have, I don't know if it was a leak, but a photo of the European... copy of Metroid 2's remake, Samus Returns, on the 3DS, the Legacy Edition.
Yeah.
It is awesome, and it comes with a Game Boy cartridge steelbook, a soundtrack, and a keychain, and an art book, and a pin. So many things. And it just looks so sick. Like, I want this in the U.S. so badly.
I mean, you guys know we like cartridges because of all of the imagery we use.
Of course.
And it's carts just like... Carts for days.
A cart steelbook and then the art book and the soundtrack. It looks like an amazing package. Like, I want to buy this specifically. And I think the 3DS is region locked, isn't it? Unfortunately.
I'm not sure.
I know the Switch isn't, but I think the 3DS is.
Probably. Check.
Just sucks. I want this in North America so bad. Maybe they'll come out with it here. I don't know why they would just do it in Europe. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's kind of bizarre.
There's always some awesome thing that
we can't have
in the U.S. Yeah.
But yeah, that thing looks so sick, and I can't wait actually now to play that on 3DS.
Yeah, the 3DS line does enforce region locking for 3DS specific software.
Right. All right, so I guess we'll see. Either way, it might be cool collector's item to just grab anyway on eBay or something. Mm. But then also, there was a 15-minute extensive demo of Beyond Good and Evil 2 that came out after E3. It demoed some concepts and some imagery of the game. Did you get to look at it, Peter?
I didn't get to look at it yet, but I've been hearing a lot of how they they took so much time and effort to build the engine for this game before they really did anything else.
I mean, that's really what the demo was an engine demo. It was on the planet, and I don't know the main character's name. I actually watched it on mute, but because I was busy during something at work, but it was... It was just on the planet, and it seemed like there was lots of really interesting lighting and physics going on, but not much game. It was just kind of like, here's like...
tech demo.
It was a tech demo, but that's what it was supposed to be. It wasn't marketing itself as like a real demo or anything, but it was just highlighting the potential of what the engine and the game could be, and it looks really appealing to me.
Yeah.
It's kind of like more on the space exploration side thing again.
Listen, so many people,
so many games like that.
So many people were excited about this game at E3. I Beyond Good and Evil 1 went over my head. It's become a cult classic, but I didn't really know much about it. But the thing here is there's a lot of zing words coming out about it being open world, and of course we had our open world episode and we were talking about that and how, I mean, I've got a whole healthy dose of skepticism now when that word is used, because that doesn't necessarily mean substance. It might mean quantity, but I don't know. How's the quality going to be? So I really take those words with a huge grain of salt at this point. What?
No, I think that's...
Sorry, you all right over there?
No, the devs seem really passionate about it.
Yeah,
I think that's really
reassuring.
Cool to see people that are like really into the game they're making, and it's... I don't know. I think it's really interesting, and it's... This ties into our topic of the day, but Beyond Good and Evil is $4.99 right now on Steam.
I did not see that.
So that's
okay.
A great game that I didn't put on the main list, but I should include that if you want to get familiar with the series,
definitely
during the Steam sale right now, you can get it on the cheap.
Yeah, there are a lot of games. We'll talk about it
later.
We'll get there, but let's move on to what's loaded up for now.
Sure.
Ow! What's loaded now?
Nick,
Gang Beasts?
Tell us about this game.
Gang Beasts.
We've been waiting for this game for a while.
So our friend Mikey showed this to me a while ago, and he was just like, "You ever heard of this game?" And I was like, "No, not at all. What the fuck?"
It's got some floppy boys in it.
I searched it up. It's just like this physics-based fighting game where just like you flop around, just like throwing fists, headbutting, and then picking people up and chucking them off buildings. It's the most fun game for 20 rounds or so, and you might get bored of it because the content's kind of lacking at the same point. But for those 20 rounds, my God, you're cracking up.
It's an arcade
constantly.
Do you play as an individual character?
They're like
noodly
characters.
A whole bunch?
No, one. You play as one.
Oh, okay.
And actually, it's a good little thing to talk about. This game is in early access.
Oh, okay.
So there are definitely bugs.
Yeah.
But I managed to snag it on the Steam sale, and yesterday, Mike and I could not stop laughing. I said this to Andrew earlier today, I don't think I've ever seen a game accurately portray like the struggle of a fist fight. Because, you know, as much as you like to think like these crazy action movie heroes doing these clean moves and everything, a real fight is not clean like that.
It's
a real fight is people throwing each other around and getting up in each other's faces and not really having enough room to throw a punch or anything. And this gets it perfect. Absolutely gets it perfect. Like if you grab someone's hand and like the other guy grabs like your throat, like you won't be able to like actually swing and hit each other.
So you're just struggling
and you're struggling for a while. Then someone gets like put down like into the ground, and then as they get up, you headbutt them, and that'll knock them out. And
I didn't know how in depth you can get.
It looks extremely realistic when you're just button mashing, and then like they had this perfect sound effect when you get knocked out. It's just
crunch.
It's just no. It's like just like a baseball bat to meat.
Oh yeah, like one of these.
Yeah,
or maybe more meaty than
that. A little bit of metal, metallic ting in it too. You just get like knocked the fuck out. You know, when you get knocked out, you're just done.
And so that's not how you win, though.
No.
How do you win rounds? You have to throw them off the map.
So
every
if you
time?
Fall off the map, like that's sumo? The only way to die.
Okay,
is if you get thrown. And there's a ring map if you get thrown out of the ring. So
and there's a meat grinder too, isn't there?
You can get thrown in a meat grinder.
Oh, no.
You can get thrown in the meat grinder.
It's just, but it's such a playful game. Like I think it's worth mentioning that it's like very colorful and silly.
It's not
realistic at all.
The noises they make is just like
it's not realistic.
They're laughing
at all.
As they're fighting.
Yeah,
it's a very goofy, almost like I mentioned when we were talking about it. Octodad.
Yes.
Oh,
it's very.
So it's
similar.
Kind of,
vein,
like
is it like
based.
A bunch of floppy Mr. Meeseeks fighting each other?
You know
a
what?
Bit, yeah.
If they were all blue, yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I would say that.
All right.
But we're gonna play some of that with you tonight, so I'm excited to talk about that again next week.
I actually have one more on the list loaded up, but it's not on the list.
Oh, what's your secret, Nick?
I bought. Andrew saw it. I bought. Okay, so me and Ari were sitting there, and he was playing with his son, and we were just kind of sitting around. And he was like, I wonder if there's any Sega games on the Steam sale. I'm like, of course there's Sega games on the Steam sale. And of course, I just write Sonic in the search bar, and literally Sonic 1, 2, 3, Sonic CD, Sonic 4, Sonic Generations, all of it on sale. Of course.
Yeah.
For like and pennies?
I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh no, what have you done to me? No. And I'm just like, all right, Sonic CD, add to the cart. Sonic 3, Knuckles, add to the cart. Sonic Generations, add to the cart. God damn it.
Yeah. And then it was like, all right, like, budget. $6.
And yeah, no, okay. So I bought Sonic CD and Sonic 3 and Knuckles for $2.48.
Total?
And yes. So I was like, yeah, I'm just going to boot up Sonic CD and remember like how it was. And then I beat it today again.
Oh, no. Is that short?
Yeah. I mean.
Also, you know everything.
I know it. I don't know it as well as Sonic 3 and Knuckles. And it's a shorter game. But yeah. Ari was just sitting there playing with his son. And he was just like, all right, just fucking play it. And I beat it.
Did you play with the controller attached? Or did
no,
you?
No, I played with the keyboard.
Just mouse and keyboard. Yeah. Does it feel weird like that, or is
no,
it
cool? No. I first played Sonic 3 and Knuckles keyboard because, I mean, really, it's an old Genesis game, so really, yeah. You just need the four buttons, four directions, right. And jump.
Yeah, it's not a whole bunch.
Yeah.
That's cool. That we budgeted out, and then, of course, you have to come back. I'm nervous that's going to happen to me.
We'll talk about the Steam sale further in detail, and you set a budget. Good luck keeping it.
Yeah, good luck keeping your budget. I went over.
And then you want to keep extending because you're like, well, for like $10, I can get 6 other games.
Yeah, well... The game that pushed me over, in particular, of my $150 budget was Rocket
High
League.
Budget.
I mean, that's fair. If you want to be like, hey,
if
I love
know
video games.
If you know this is coming, yeah that's fair.
Yeah.
My budget was $100.
Rocket League put me $9 over. Okay. So I've been playing that on PC again, and I just, every time I've been booting up Steam, I'm like, oh, look at all these games I got. Rocket League. It's just, it's a great arcade game that I own on PS4 as well, and we played competitively for a while.
Yeah.
That one time.
And we're going to now, too, because you got it, too.
I have it. I have it.
Mike has it. Your friend Mark
when
has
I'm,
it.
I'm
my
ordering
Jordan.
My new PC soon, and it should come in bundled in, so.
Yeah, so we're going to have a squad with it.
Hell yeah.
I suck at the game,
Rocket League, super fun. It plays amazingly on PC, of course. I have a 165Hz monitor, 1440p,
yep.
And it just looks incredible. Like, it plays so smooth and just looks even better than console, more effects and stuff like
buttery,
that.
Buttery.
It's buttery. And I have my old Xbox One controller hooked up, and it feels great. So that's really fun. And then another smaller game, Cluster Truck.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nick
we
loved.
Mentioned this a while ago.
Yeah,
I think.
This was on sale too. Nick was playing it a while ago, and mm-hmm. I've been wanting to get it, and it was on sale.
I came down here, and you were playing it.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I was playing it today.
You enjoying it?
Yeah, I love it.
Dude,
it's another jump in and play. Like, yeah. I love games like that where you can
just
jump
in. You gotta be
careful
with that one, though, because that one, you're like, oh, I'll just play one more world, and then it's like, oh, shit, I beat half the game, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It definitely feels that way, and it's just a simple physics fun game,
you're
again.
Jumping on trucks that are, like, procedurally sort of put in a way. Like, no, they're the physics changes every
they
time
they always
play.
Have a route, but of course there are minute details that cause them to veer, of course.
And it's, and but it's you have to, and then it makes it different.
So the whole
time,
thing
kinda.
Is that you're moving forward the entire time, trying to get to a finish point, but these trucks are crashing into each other, and you got to jump from roof to roof, and then, you know, of course, there's pendulum swinging and blowing them up, and like all these different variables.
It's kind of a cluster truck.
It is. Yeah. It's a very, very clever, fun indie game I think is definitely worth getting if you're
interested. How much did you pick that up for?
I think it was $8.
Oh, like that's a must buy.
I think so.
Oh my god, that's a must buy at $8.
Cluster Truck and Rocket League have been like kind of mostly what I've been playing, other than the usual PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, of course, which we posted about in Counter Strike
and Overwatch,
and then Switch
and
Switch every day on the train.
Well, yeah, Andrew's been playing ARMS, and I don't really have much for myself for loaded up this week other than ARMS, and I've been continuing to play.
Are you gonna get it?
Tekken. I'm contemplating it. I'll have to see.
It's kind of a busy time. You got the Steam sale, you got your PC.
Yeah, Steam sale. I've been figuring out my PC situation. I still am reviewing Rhyme, and I want to go back the one last time for Tekken to see how I feel about
you
it.
You had a busy week, so it's time for you to catch up on the things that you've been trying to finish. ARMS is great, though. I really like that game a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised how much I liked it.
Same. And we have Splatoon 2 coming out next month, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. So good stuff from Nintendo.
Yeah. Yes. So that's it for what's loaded up. I actually just got Cave Story on Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an old game that they remastered for it, and it's a really cool package. My friend Jordan recommended it, mm-hmm. so I'm going to be playing that. It'll probably be on What's Loaded Up next week.
Okay.
But I thought it was worth mentioning. Nice. But let's move to the topic of the day.
It's time for topic of the day.
Steam Summer Sale. So I don't have a PC yet, but I still bought games for this.
Yeah, because you want to... preeminent. You want to strike before you have.
We can sum this whole thing up with a meme.
Yeah, which what we did.
Shut up and take my money.
We put it. That one. But we tried to branch out. We did one from the.
We did a little Rascals.
The Little Rascals.
I forgot the name of the character throwing money out of the window.
That was our post.
If anyone doesn't know, Steam Summer Sale is fucking ridiculous.
It's when your wallet screams in agony.
Help! Help! Help!
Well, I mean, there are great deals. This is the biggest, the biggest sale for Steam of the year. There are others littered throughout the year, but this is, you'll get the widest selection. And I mean, there's some reasons as to like why you would want to buy some games now in anticipation of the fall,
right?
Because of course there are a lot of in game season. There's maybe sequels coming out. So for me, I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll get Stick of Truth or whatever.
Yeah, this is one of those things that I think PC gamers kind of wave in the faces of console gamers. Yeah. And it's something that PlayStation is trying to touch on, and the Xbox Store, I'm sure, is as well. But really, Steam has done it first, and they do it best.
So I have been on PC for a long time, and I know you guys missed the boat on Steam sales, summer sales in the past. And when we had finally, I had mentioned it from time to time in our friend group. It's like, oh, I can't wait for the Steam summer sale. And then we finally found coming next week. And I sent a picture of that headline into our Discord chat, just like, prepare your anus. It's coming. And oh my God, the sales are out of control.
It's literally everything on sale. I'd say it's like slightly underwhelming at first glance. You're kind of like, eh, but then once you look at the list a couple times,
you gotta
dig a little bit. We definitely have recommendations. What did you guys buy? What are a couple titles that we bought?
Just a little bit of details. It's running until July 5th. And obviously, this is for PC, but there are sales that parallel usually come out. Not as much, but I know PS4 is having a sale right now.
They responded.
They definitely.
As a response. Yeah. So, yeah. But for me, I am digging into my past of gaming when I'm as far as my PC is going. So I only spent $41, but I got Age of Mythology with one of its expansions. Age of Mythology, I love that game. So one of the OG RTS games that not only do I love mythology, but the game is just great. The campaign was good.
We grew up with that. We played it all the time.
I'm really excited to play that one again. I got The Sims 3 and a few of the expansions for that.
Nice.
I haven't played Sims in years.
We can go round robin a little bit. You don't have to say everyone because I have a bunch.
I only had a few. Okay. If you want to go now, go a little bit, Nick. You got Bayonetta. So did Andrew.
What else did I get? I got Soma, which I'm excited to play.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what is Soma?
It's a first-person horror game. It takes place. It kind of got like a BioShock feel because it takes place on the bottom of the ocean. But it's got extremely good reviews. Like anyone who says you like that kind of storytelling atmospheric horror game, it's a must-buy.
Are you in an underwater diving suit? Or it's a submarine?
I think so.
It looked like a facility kind of like Rapture, but I think there's points where you're outside of it too. I'm not sure.
Kind of BioShocky.
After you mentioned it and I had seen it on the PlayStation Store a while ago, I looked at the reviews on Steam and it's overwhelmingly.
It's five stars. Yeah.
So now I'm kind of shit. Maybe I want. I mean, I'll just.
I'll
play
let
it
you
at
know.
Your house.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it is.
That game looks really sweet. I bought a shit ton. I got 13 games. But some of note, I want to say. That also ties into the conversation that I feel the Steam sale is a great opportunity to catch up on things you said. So for me, I really recently have been enjoying indie games like What Remains of Edith Finch.
Yeah.
And I want to play more of those titles, similar indie games that are more story driven.
So you got The Witness.
So
right?
I got The Witness, which I know is a great puzzle game that was very highly regarded last year as one of the games of the year, game of the year. So I got that. I got Oxenfree and Thimbleweed Park and Hyperlight Drifter. Four indie games that are really great.
You said Thimbleweed Park is kind of like Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
it's
a little bit like Twin Peaks meets X-Files. It has an interesting kind of 64-bit looking or 8-bit 2D. I don't know how to describe it. Mm. It has an interesting art style. Each of these games has a really unique art direction.
Yeah,
and they range from being 3D to 2D. Adventure games, kind of what was the game you played again with the cat girl?
Night in the Woods.
Similar to that. So I'm excited to catch up on those. What were the last couple you got to?
So I got Stick of Truth, the South Park game, and this is again in anticipation of the Fractured But Whole coming out in October. I want to play Stick of Truth, and I know I'm a fan of South Park, and it's essentially, I've heard, be like a 15 to 20 hour episode of South Park, so I'm very excited to play that. And going back to my top 10 games of all time, I got Morrowind.
Yeah.
Which,
how much is that going for?
I think it was
$4.
Yeah, it was like $5, no more than $8. I don't
yeah,
know.
It was like fully the Master Edition with like everything, you know.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I think there are some good mods for that. So you can, once you get your PC, you can totally make that game look more modern, which is exciting because the game is old at this point and you can have a lot of fun with it on PC.
Yeah, I hadn't considered the mods for it actually. Yeah. I mean, I might want to go in a little bit and see the raw experience. I want to at least get to... People who know the game, there's this one point where a guy falls from the sky because he messed up a spell and comes
I love that part.
And that's pretty early in the game. Like, I'm so excited to just relive that experience just because it was ridiculous.
The game is so brown.
Yeah.
It is. Just think of brown.
You got the giant flea things. I forgot the name of them. Sorry. Lore enthusiasts. But I made sure I picked games that I'm excited for. Nick, was there anything else you had on there?
Yeah.
Sonic games.
I also got Doom.
You've been looking for that.
Yeah,
to get on sale.
It was on sale once before. It wasn't half off like it was now, so it's a good thing I waited.
So how much?
15.
Was it?
15 bucks. Yeah, so that was a really good pickup. Mm-hmm.
I love that campaign. That was one of my favorites.
Also got Final Fantasy 13, which is the weakest in the series, but I never owned a copy of it, so I figured $8. Fuck it.
I mean, it's not too bad. I enjoyed
your favorite series.
I'm gonna go back and play it. Maybe I don't know. I don't doubt they've released mods for it. There's probably nothing they really could mod in. But I'm excited to go back and maybe give it another try.
That's true.
I also got a couple more games that are not only to catch up on, but to prepare myself for other games like this. Like you said, I also got South Park. And I got Metal Gear Revengeance, which isn't a catch-up game, but I've been wanting to play that forever on console, and I missed that, and I've been really wanting to play more action RPG stuff, so I got that and Bayonetta.
Richie recommends Metal Gear.
Yeah, I'm really excited to play both of those, both really fun and interesting games. Mm-hmm. And as far as catching up goes, I got the Metro Redux bundle.
Oh, yeah.
So 2033 and Last Light, because the E3 demo or the E3 trailer for the new open world Metro
looks
awesome. Really good. Yeah, it looks great. So I kind of want to familiarize myself with the series.
That was a series that you and I missed, but it definitely looks cool.
Yeah. A couple more I can mention again when we get to our recommendations.
Sure.
But yeah, within our recommendations are a ton of games that I also bought.
Yeah.
But before we get there, why don't we talk about, like, do you guys think it's healthy to buy a ton of games on the Steam sale?
Yes.
In 2014, Ars Technica did a study that unearthed the fact that 37% of people's Steam libraries have never even been opened.
I'm not surprised by that. By that in a single... anyone who will get in the console PC debate on the PC side will be like, we have so many games, we have thousands of games, and they're right. Unfortunately, half of those games sit untouched.
Because people don't want to play. There's too many.
I literally, when Mike came over and we were going to play Gang Beasts, and I opened up my Steam library, it's like, I can't find the title. The list of titles is too long. I can't find it.
Especially when you buy bundles. Like, the Valve bundle has, like, what?
We'll talk
40
about that,
games.
Too.
Yeah, but 37% in 2014. Do you think that's even higher now in 2017 when sales have been going on for four more years?
Well,
or three more years?
I think it's about the same, because the Steam sale is the summer sale, at least, is always kick-ass.
Almost half. It's like crazy. And I know for me, even personally, I've probably around 30% of my games I haven't opened because they're in bundles or.
But it's nice
I
to know they're there.
Exactly.
That you got a great deal on.
Exactly.
Them.
Their title is there. They're just grayed out.
But do you think it's healthy?
Do you think it's healthy? You know what? We all budgeted before going in.
Yeah.
And I think for a big event like this, when you know it's coming,
it's good to budget. Yeah. If you
went into the Steam sale just being like, fuck it, here comes the cash, and you ended up walking out of there spending $200 on, let's say, like 500 games, then of course a lot of those are going unpurchased, and that was not a smart choice.
Yeah, be concise. I would definitely recommend it, like, knowing what your goals are. For me, it was, I want to catch up and I want to prepare. Those were two things, because not only do I want to make up on things that I haven't played and I want to talk about, but I want to be ready for new games that I'm excited for that I haven't played earlier entries of.
Yeah.
So
I have to say, every game that was on my list, was one that I made my own list before the Steam sale even happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know I am going to immediately want to be playing this. So I feel totally fine in the purchase. And then as soon as it went on, I'm like, all right, let me check like which sim games are for sale. Did Morrowind go on sale? Okay, Stick of Truth. I knew it would because last year it went on sale, so mm-hmm. I was anticipating
we
it.
Have to like stress the fact that everything, not everything is on sale, obviously, like, but
a
like
a lot.
When I opened up my Steam wish list, all 16 games on the wish list were on sale. All 16 of them.
Yeah.
Only one of mine was. Well, what? The other one is Early Access. But yeah, I only have three. But the wish list is a big thing because the Steam wish list is where you can keep games like, I want this, but it'll notify you when it goes on sale. So
yeah.
It's a great place to prepare yourself for the Steam sale like you did with a mental list.
Yeah.
It was great. It's great for Steam users to do that so that you can actually be yeah. alerted when your things are.
Definitely put it in the wish list because you get an email at like the night it goes on sale, yep. which yep. is nice.
Yeah.
But you don't get 16 emails, but it was like items on your wish list. And I looked at the
list
and it was the whole list. I was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me.
It's kind of
awesome. I have to say Valve is really nice with the way they present it. Cause I did make a wish list and I got an email, I think today, and you go to your email and it's like images of each of the
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I know.
And it's you scroll so down and you're like, ooh. It's not just a list. It's like actual images, yeah. previews of the game.
They totally make it enticing. They make it enticing to spend your money.
Yes, they're doing their marketing and their money making right.
Yeah. So with that said, I put together a list that we talked about of recommendations, yeah. like our around top 10 of games that we think, okay, this year on the Steam sale, if you're spending money, you might want to check these games out there because yeah. these are great games and they're worth the money. And the first one on the list, Nick, you're reviewing right now, Nier Automata.
Yeah, I mean, the game is still retailing at $60, and it's going for $42 right now, which I think is probably a steal because this game is great, and it'll probably stay at $60 for at least another 6 months.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's doing really well, and it's being reviewed great. Yeah. It's one of the best action RPGs to come out this year,
Did all the DLC even come out for it yet?
There was one DLC. There was one DLC.
The only thing that came with it was just like extra costumes outfits? for your pod, not even for you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So $41 is on the high side of things going on sale. Yeah, it is $20 definitely. Off, but I didn't get this game because I did want to get more for my money. I've been looking forward to Nier, though. So
It'll go on sale again.
It'll go on sale again, and when it does, I'm going to get it. And after your review, you'll probably seal the deal for me. Because yeah. I've been asking you, like, is it worth it? And then I was like, all right, I'll just wait till I read your review, and then once I see that, I'll make my decision.
I mean, you have to figure this is a game that has come out within half a year, and it's a hot game for this year.
It was on the top seller list on Steam pretty much since it came out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then Dishonored 2 is $20 right now.
Yeah.
That's crazy. This is one of the most overlooked and underplayed games of last year, especially by us. Like for me, I didn't play it, but I loved Dishonored 1. Mm-hmm. And I heard from a lot of people in the industry that this is a great sequel.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, at launch, it didn't have a great port to PC, but I know they've fleshed a lot of those things out with updates. So $20 is a ridiculous steal for this game. So I definitely picked this up. And if you want to get Dishonored 1 with all of its DLC, it's $10 also. Mm-hmm. So if you pay $30, it's a great entry point into this game, which is a first-person, stealthy, interesting world. Like, it has a very interesting art direction and style and story that I think is really worth playing through. I thought Dishonored 1 was probably my favorite game of that year. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2013.
This is another 14. Game where it's like looking ahead because they're having that huge DLC coming out soon.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just the perfect time to catch up on these games that you missed. And The Witcher 3 also is another one.
This is a steal.
$24. Game of the year that comes with all the DLC, right?
Which Blood and Wine is like its own game. It got awards for best RPG, and it was a DLC.
One expansion, yeah.
Yeah, I would probably currently price this value-wise between $40 and $50.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit higher with all the DLCs. Mm-hmm. And this, for $25, pick that up if you haven't played it yet. If your computer can handle it, fucking pick it up.
Yeah. Witcher 3, I have on PS4,
and
I really enjoyed my time with it. I definitely got distracted by other games, but this is something that is one of those steals, like Nick said, that you can't really avoid.
Yeah.
Well, just also something that you can sink so many hours into, mm-hmm. easily over 100 hours into The Witcher between
it's
this and the DLC.
Well worth the money.
Well worth the money.
Yeah. And then, so What Remains of Edith Finch, I just reviewed this game,
mm-hmm.
and it's on sale for $5 off, which isn't a crazy deal, but it's $14.99. And I loved this game. I gave it a 9 out of 10. My review's going up today, actually. It's not today. Today we're recording on Saturday, but on
Sunday. It'll be up by the time you hear this,
right, probably. By the time you hear this, or maybe a little after, review will be up on Praise the Game, the website.
Yeah.
I really, really liked What Remains of Edith Finch. It's one of my favorite games of the year so far.
Yep.
And for $15, I think it's absolutely worth the money. Yep. It's only a two-hour game. It's like a movie. You play through it, but it definitely has this... It has a story that I want to play again in like a few years, you know, like it's something that I really think is a great addition to a collection.
Yeah.
And it's not really high pressure like maybe The Witcher. Maybe if you're intimidated by a 100-hour game, especially if
a good point.
If you don't have 30% of your Steam library is not being used right now and you don't want to add another one that'll go on that list because it's too daunting, a 2-hour game you can play in one sitting is a great one. And I highly recommend
it. It also depends how you value things. You love this game.
Right.
But at the same time, it was, a little bit over 2 hours, and it was $15. The Witcher 3 is $25. It's a $10 difference, and it's like, 50 times the amount of gameplay.
Right. It depends on your
play style. So, I mean, it really depends what kind of games you like, how you value things. But still, mm-hmm. I mean...
There's something for everyone.
And if you value like story-driven games, because it really is just kind of like, there's no gameplay, you know, you're just kind of playing through and learning about this family and stuff. And I find those types of games really interesting, like Firewatch mm-hmm. and Gone Home. So Firewatch if you're into sale. That sort of...
Yeah, Firewatch is on sale.
Yeah, Firewatch is also on sale.
What is it, like $7 or $8?
Yes.
Yeah. Valve has a game pack, which is $17.52, and it's got
it's
many
a $300 value.
It's a ridiculous amount of games. You'll get Counter-Strike, you'll get
Portal,
Half-Life, Left 4 Dead, Counter-Strike, Day of Defeat,
Ricochet,
like literally everything Valve has ever released in one game pack, and it's $17. This is
probably
an absurd value.
Best value thing I would think.
This is
essentially like PC starter set in a way, just because of the classicism of these games.
Mm-hmm. If you get a PC and you're like, I don't know, what's my starter kit? $17 and you get so many different types of games. You get amazing first-person stories like Half-Life. You get crazy great multiplayer like Counter-Strike and Team Fortress. It's just such a diverse...
Trust me, you'll only open 37% of these games.
Probably. I didn't install all of them because a lot of them are legacy games. I mean, it even comes with the Left 4 Dead 2 beta in it.
Really?
Which is cool, but like...
Who needs that?
we're probably going to play 4 of these or 5 of them together, but that's worth it
Left
alone.
Dead 2.
Counter-Strike, I've already put enough hours in to merit $17.
Yeah.
So that's an absurd deal.
You guys got Bayonetta for $14.99, $15.
Worth it. I'm excited as hell to play through that game. It seems really unique. The character seems funny and ridiculous. Action RPGs again.
Yep. Wolfenstein The New Order again, if you're trying to catch up and getting ready for the new Colossus.
I think it's New Colossus.
Hold on.
I think so.
It's something Colossus. We should know this.
That's $10, though.
Yeah.
So it's another great catch-up game.
And it's the new Colossus.
There's the new Order,
and then there's the new Colossus.
Yeah, no,
so
you're right.
If you're trying to catch up, it's $10.
And then another big one. Sorry, we keep riddling these off. But Resident Evil 7 was one of the best games of the year so far, and that was early in 2017. In January, this was released, and it's half off for $35 right now.
Yep.
I think that's worth it if you missed this title. I think Resident Evil 7 is a really, really good game and worth playing through, especially if you can play it in the Vive in VR. I'm not 100% sure if it's PSVR exclusive, actually.
I don't think they would probably put it on at least Oculus, right?
Maybe.
Why wouldn't they?
Either way, crazy deal.
No, really?
It's only PSVR, right? I thought so.
Yep.
Damn.
Well, I mean, that makes it a little less worth it, in my opinion.
If it was VR, like all of it, that would be...
If it was $30, if it was $29.99, $35 is almost a little bit too on the high side, but I did want to throw it on here because some people skipped it, and it is half off now, so I think that's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Stick of Truth is on there, as we said before. It's $7.49.
And then The Witness, like I said, I picked up for $20, and Nick, you threw Final Fantasy VII on here.
Yeah, I mean, the whole franchise, there's a Final Fantasy franchise sale going on. I mean, like we said, everything's on sale.
Yeah.
But the only thing they advertise is they show a picture of Lightning, who's the main character from 13. Mm-hmm. But don't be fooled by that, because there's a lot of the games that are for sale. And I just specifically pulled out VII because it's the most famous, and that's going for $6. So that's, I mean, it's not a steal, but it's a great deal. So
yeah, and if you want to play this before
the remake,
you get the remake in like 9 years.
This is a chance to pick it up cheap.
Yeah, I was considering that, but in the end, I think I'm going to wait and play through the remake. I'm just excited to try it in this new sort of style.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are our recommendations. If you guys have anything else that you think is awesome on the Steam sale.
Yeah, did you find a steal that we didn't see?
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff buried. The Valve pack, like, if you go on the deals, the specials page, and then click through the pages, I went through 53 pages, and like, you know, so I didn't even see some of the games that we listed here, because a lot of the times they're buried somewhere else, because so much is on sale that's really generated by what people are buying. So the Valve pack is hidden. It's not even on the front page, it's not even the specials page, nothing. But if you search the Valve pack, you will get 40 games for $17. So
also, you can be like me and go to like RPG genre and then look through
Pages. Genres is a good deal. Yeah,
and just keep clicking. Next page.
It just feels so good to be a PC gamer. And I'm sorry to all of our listeners who are just strictly console gamers that we're just going on and on about these sales. Hopefully, your console is having a sale too, similar to like the PS4 sale and the Xbox One, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good pressure to put on to others.
But it is worth talking about because it's crazy. Like, as a returning PC player, for me, this was like, oh shit, all right, I'm ready. $150, let's get some new games. Let's catch up on stuff.
I know.
So what was your total number of games you got in the end?
13.
13.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For $150.
And I got, I think, four for $41.
Damn, you had
four or five, I don't remember, but some of them had DLCs in them too.
I mean, like, I forgot to mention this, but there's a section at the bottom of the homepage where you can select either under $10 or under $5.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're not even looking to spend, if you don't even want a budget, if you just want your pocket change to go a long way, it can.
That's how I found like pretty much all mine.
And this, another thing you just reminded me of, this is a fantastic opportunity to buy gifts for friends or family.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you want to get even early Christmas shopping done, or whatever.
Yeah.
You can just gift people stuff on Steam.
Unfortunately, the gifting is region locked. So if you have a friend in like Canada or in Europe, you can't gift them, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, that does suck.
Did you come across that like firsthand? What made you bring that up?
Somebody mentioned it online. I was like, oh, that actually does suck. And it seems like
it's because
the conversion rates are different and stuff.
Of course.
But I mean, that's something that they can work through, right?
No, not at all. No.
They can't do some
when
sort
it comes
of
to the money problems like that. No.
No, it makes sense why it's that. Yeah. I mean,
if it was like content being region locked, that makes, yeah, you can get around that. But the fact that the exchange rates are always changing, it might be a problem with the way sales work.
Yeah,
so
true.
Gifting might be a problem.
That's true.
We'll see if I don't play any of these games, but hopefully not. Hopefully I'm going to play all of them.
Hopefully.
I got to see, that's the thing. What's loaded up was just two of the arcade games because I didn't want to invest in the endeavor of any of these like story games yet. Because I was like, oh, Rocket League's easy. Cluster Truck I can jump in on.
How many cumulative hours did you buy of gaming?
Oh, we'll see. Easily,
2 months?
Easily like 300 hours. Like, easily.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
Oh, my gosh. That's
which is crazy.
Oh, my God.
It's not something that I'm going to be like, I'm riddling through every one of these now, but it's like part of my library. And if there's a point where I'm like, I'm in a lull and I'm like, oh, I want to play some more Revengeance or something, I can.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Also, it's kind of like a trophy cabinet. We were talking about this, Nick, where it's like, your Steam library is just amazing to look at, all these ridiculous amount of titles there.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice to have an absurd library of games.
Yeah, it's like a whole bunch of friends just sitting there.
Yeah.
Friends.
It's a list of friends.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah, well, hopefully you have friends to play with them.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's it for the topic of the day. I know, Pete, you have a little bit of story time to
end it
with.
Hey, tell me a story.
Story time.
So, I work at a library, and it's a library that I've been going to for years, and as a kid, you know, I would go there, I'd play I Spy or whatever on the computers, and just the same, the kids are always coming in and playing games on the computers. These days, it's
Minecraft,
this thing
right?
called, nope, it's no? this thing called Roblox, which is like a sort of Minecraft-y server type thing where there's different variations, so you can play like Pokemon Roblox. So this kid who I see all the time, he's 7 years old. He's playing that. He's playing Pokemon. He also brought some Pokemon cards in the other day. So I'm talking to him about Pokemon cards and like what that means and I explained to him. I was like, you know how old Pokemon cards? They're like four times the time that you've been alive. Which was like a little fucked up. But the thing that made me really feel my age is I was like, oh, so do you play the Pokemon games at all? And he was like, he's like, no, I just play Roblox. That's my impression of this kid, I guess.
Yeah, gotta get that one more time.
No, I just play Roblox.
Daddy.
And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, well, like, what are the games? And I said, well, like when I was your age, I played Pokemon Red on Game Boy Color. And he's like, what's a Game Boy? So I had to explain to this 7-year-old what a Game Boy was. And it was a real, like, weird, I had, like, getting all nostalgic and stuff.
Oh.
But
did they not call it the Game Boy DS? It's just Nintendo DS.
You didn't know that?
That didn't click to me until now.
But I mentioned the 3DS too, and he didn't really know that either. I mean,
that's what I'm
some kids
about
don't play games
I get that.
You know, so maybe he hasn't gotten to the point where it's like, well,
if
he
didn't
know that,
it's not that surprising.
I want 3DS for Christmas, but the idea of, okay, I'm explaining what a Game Boy is to this kid who was when I was his age, was playing a Game Boy, but he's playing Pokemon in a certain different way now.
Damn.
It made me feel my age, but I felt like kind of nostalgic and sort of proud of the moment in a way of like trying to introduce certain things to kids. Speaking of which, I mean, I helped improve the game collection there at the library. But like there was another proud moment that I had where this grandmother came back in and got a book. And she's like, oh, my granddaughter really wanted this book. And this girl's really smart. I've seen her before. She's always playing games, but she's just very intelligent. She always knows how to like adjust the sounds and shit on the computer. And the grandma was like, oh, my granddaughter really wanted this book. And she puts it on the counter, and it was a book on game coding. And this girl's like 8. And I was like, oh, shit, cool, good, start them early. I just felt really, like, happy that I could check that out for someone. Be like, here's for your 8-year-old so she can learn how to code games, maybe become
wild.
A female game developer in the future,
shit,
maybe.
Dude.
And I just felt like really, like, what is the word? Validate? I don't know.
Yeah, validate.
I just felt happy about being able to do that. So that's, like, my little just what happened to me.
Heartfelt.
Yes, heartfelt.
Yeah. That's a good story. I like that.
Yeah. Tell me a story.
I had a couple small things happen this week too. It's always on the fucking train.
Always.
Like, the commute.
Because you spend how many hours a week on the train? Like 30?
Way more than that, actually. I think more like, so it's 2 hours each day times 5. So 10 hours.
Not 30.
Yeah, you're right. So 10 hours. I'm on the LRRR. And I'm hanging out with my friend Jordan most of the time.
Yeah.
And we're playing Switch. And on my way home the other day, this girl who got off a stop or two before ours,
mm-hmm.
I was playing Switch. I was playing, I didn't throw it on What's Loaded Up. I was playing Graceful Exploding Machine.
Oh, yeah.
To shoot him up, which is really fun. And I was just kind of like looking for a change of pace, not play ARMS or Mario Kart or something. And she was sitting behind me. And then she, on her way out, like asked me if she thought the Switch was worth it. And
kind
she
of
had
like
a 3.
Inconspicuously.
Yeah, she was like, "Hey, what do you think of that?" And I was like, "Oh, I love it!" Like, and I, you know, gave her recommendations, mm-hmm. and it was cool because for some reason people approach me all the time on the train about games. Like, I've had multiple conversations with people.
I don't know. I feel like something has to do with Nintendo being a part of a lot of people's childhoods too.
Yeah.
Well, she and even had a 3DS. She was like, "I have a 3DS, but like, I want this?" And I was like, "I think so. Like, it's great."
I think it's probably because. I mean, this isn't the best way to say it, but you have the balls to play in public like that, we shouldn't get to that point where it shouldn't be you have the balls to play in public. But the thing is, handheld gaming has always been seen as a kiddie thing. So here's this adult, obviously on his way to his job playing.
He's got a beard.
Let's see what he talks. Let's see what he knows about
it. She was an adult too. And dude, that's a perfect thing for you to say because the second person I interacted with was in the morning, me and Jordan were hanging out and playing. And she did one of those like kind of like, oh, she's looking over. And then eventually was like, hey, I couldn't help it over here. But like, I'm a mom. And I have a Switch. I bought it for my son, but I love it and I want to play it too.
Yeah.
And like, we just got into gaming in general. She was like, "What? So what's it like to build a gaming PC?" That's how she opened the conversation.
Oh, Jesus.
And thanks for just asking. I have a gaming podcast called Praise the Game. And no, I didn't do that. But I told her. I was like, listen, we're gamers. We talk about this shit. Oh, shit, my bad. But yeah, I do this all the time. And I talked to her about my new gaming PC. And, you know, it was very interesting to have this woman, you know, clearly of age that has, you know, of a kid at home, multiple kids at home, be interested in gaming, want to talk to. So it's not just like, oh, those kids, that man's gaming. I've never had a negative experience on the MMRR or the train in general. In fact, multiple people that you would think would never say anything, not only these moms, like some burly looking construction dude was like, was that the new Nintendo? And I'm like, yeah, it's the Switch. And he's like, that looks fucking sick. And I was like, yeah, it's Mario Kart. It's dope. And he's like chugging a 24 ounce or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, I've never
eight
had
beers deep on the subway.
Seriously, I've never had anyone be like, fucking loser.
No,
like,
it's a great opener for people. It's an icebreaker. But, and again, I mean, this, I mean, if somebody had a Vita, maybe I would approach them. But I do think Nintendo has a tangible cultural, like,
relevance
to a lot of people's childhoods. For anyone born within, like, the last 35, 40 years, like, it has a relevance to them.
Also, the Switch is interesting because the 3DS looks like a Game Boy.
Yeah.
But the Switch looks like a tablet, and it's kind of new, and it's also really big in mainstream media right now. Yeah. Like, the Switch is on commercials everywhere. A lot of people are talking about it. It's a hot item. So it's not just, like, I don't know. It's different right now.
Well, you know what? We were talking about this before. Just like, oh, like they had a limited release and they were bringing them out once in a while, and people really want it, but oh no, they can't get it. So you have it and you're showing it off, but not everyone can get it right now. But it's making them want to have it even more when they're seeing you playing.
Right, and I've
and
never
you
had
being
anything.
Like, yeah, like it's great. And they're gonna get that sale. And like, helping Nintendo. There.
Yeah, Nintendo, give me some money, please.
Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Slap a logo on the back of your jacket.
It's interesting for commuters that don't have the, you know, the entry point to that conversation because Nintendo bridges the gap.
Yeah,
like I have my Switch in my hands, and it's like, oh, what's that? Let's talk about this. Whereas like, I can't just talk to somebody about PS4 unless I already know them or like they hear me talking about PS4. Like it's interesting because the consoles at home, the home console is different, and the Switch has kind of created this opportunity for conversation that I haven't experienced in a long time.
Yeah.
Like 3DS never happened to me. You know, the Game Boy rarely, you know, I'm sure there were times where people met and made friends because of them, but the Switch right now, in the same way that Pokemon Go had this like revolutionary social reaction, I feel like the Switch has a little bit of that.
Well, you're taking things like Mario Kart, which is inherently social. You'll play with a bunch of friends on a Friday night or whatever, and it's fun. And a lot of people know that. Even if they're not that into gaming, like on their own, they'll play that. So you're taking that, which is traditionally on consoles, and bringing that out into the public, and now people can kind of chip in and relate to that, like right there in your hand, they're playing that game that they know they play with their friends at home.
It's funny that you mentioned that because there was a third instance that I forgot about this
really?
Week. Or it might have been, I think it was early this week. Me and Jordan, again, on the way to the city, all of a sudden, we're playing Mario Kart, and then, you know, on the LARRR, in between chairs, there's like a little hole on the top.
Yeah, yeah.
I just see this dude's head just go in the middle, and he goes, y'all got Mario Kart? And we're like, yeah, man, we're playing right now. He's like, oh, me and my girlfriend got a Switch. Hold on. He took the Joy-Cons off, gave one to his girlfriend, and we played four-player fucking Mario Kart in the morning on the train to the city.
Dude, Nintendo Karen, like, actually exists.
It happens so
Everyone
much.
Everyone is Nintendo Karen.
Everyone is Nintendo Karen in real life. But, it happens all the time to
me. I know.
And I love it. Four-player Mario Kart went down on the LARRR with random strangers. It was great.
I remember back in the winter, and I had such a skepticism of the Switch.
Me too.
We saw those commercials, it was like a little cringy. I'm like, I don't think that's going to work. People aren't going to bring it out to the public so much and be all social with it.
It happens.
And it happens. It really does.
It straight up does, and I love it for that.
It helps that you're in a commute, because that's the perfect time for it.
It is. Yeah.
A lot of those commercials had like, here's it at a party. I mean, you're not really going to bust it out at a party.
You could. I mean, we drink most weekends.
Yeah,
in
no,
place
but
later,
you know
like
what I mean.
People.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. But like, a commute is perfect, because like, you're sitting there, everyone's bored, everyone's going to the same place.
Yeah.
Boom, bust out the system.
And it's also time just killer. This exciting feeling of like, oh, strangers, you got Mario Kart 2? Who's the best here? Right?
Yeah.
And it's just this competition and this fun can just immediately get ignited, which tenfold made me more excited for Splatoon 2 now. Because there's not only that like horde,
squids or the
salmon
fish
mode.
Yeah, the salmon, yeah,
it's like this zombie mode of the game.
Yeah.
But there's also the competitive nature of these games. All of a sudden, people can challenge each other, and I love it, and it happens on a day-to-day basis, which is great.
Some Nintendo.
But yeah, I'm sweating because it's fucking hot out today in this basement, especially. I'm sunburned. We played a little soccer earlier. I'm melting. But that's it for today's episode. This was episode 20. We've been out here for fucking 6 months now.
Any of y'all have been here since day one, thank you. Any of you have come in part of the way, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Everybody, thank you.
Y'all rule so much. Ja Rule.
I'm so thankful.
Oh, so thankful.
So, Nick, next weekend we're going to have your brother.
No, but really.
Oh, wow. Did we preview? Have we previewed a guest before?
What I don't know, maybe. I think we have.
John, if you're listening to this, even though you're like home right now, What up?
Yo, Dr. John, what's good, son?
Yeah, we're gonna talk about violence in video games, which is a hot fucking bed topic whenever a shooting occurs.
For sure, yes.
We've had
this topic of the day and this guest of Nick's brother John for so long planned, and he's finally home from Virginia, so we're gonna definitely take advantage of that next weekend.
To do some research this week.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, as always, you can find us at praisethegame.com to get all of our social media handles and all of our carts and everything there. Of course, we're putting out content daily now on Instagram and Facebook.
I've been doing
a lot of video and social stuff, which I've been having a great time with. We just did one for Battlegrounds, which
trying to get more YouTube videos out too.
Yeah, because it's easy to do the short form stuff, but we want to start doing a little bit more of the long form content. Yeah.
If there's anything that you guys would like to see in particular, let us know.
Or maybe help write.
For sure. Yeah, we're looking for that too. But yeah, thank you guys for listening for the last 6 months. And as always, praise the game.
Praise the game.
Yo, praise it.